This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Oh, hallelujah. We need your spirit, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We can't make it without you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need the fire burning in us. We need the fire burning on in us, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Burn up the dross. Things we don't need. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray, oh God, in these last and evil days that you will find faith in the earth. True faith, according to the will of your word. Yes. Amen. And I pray, God, that you will find it here in me. Send a revival. Let it begin in me, I pray. Let it begin in the realm of Agape Christian Church. May our local assembly, oh God, find peace with God. May he rise to his rest and be blessed with our praise. As we worship you, oh, we thank you. Give God a praise. Amen. Thank you. Oh, we can do better than that. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we thank you. Hey, we thank you. We thank you. We give you the glory. Give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is looking for us to do things conducive of, amen, the fire being built in us. And we have to, amen, be strategic about that. Amen. And we're here, the dawning of the spring season lie upon us. And we want to, amen, commemorate what the Lord has done for us. Amen. We could see the signs in nature. And though the snow was yet with us a few weeks ago, I could see the, amen, the budding of, a rebudding, the new life of the tulips that we planted some years ago. Those bulbs are still coming forth. My kids were little. And in late November, that's when you're supposed to plant the bulb before the snow comes. And then in the next spring, they come up. Tulips. Depends on what color you put, amen, and on how many you put up. But the beautification comes in spring. Amen. Even the squirrels get excited. They start having church and popping off the tulips, making salad. My God, we are trying to look at it and look at the, and behold the beauty, but they over there making salad. Amen. I'm shooing the squirrels out of my yard and pesky little rascals. Hallelujah. Anyhow, but how many amen times do we allow the devil to come and just amen, make us get distracted? And we don't, amen, hone the beauty of righteousness, the beauty of holiness. Worship him in the what? Beauty of holiness. You know, there's a strategy we have to use to get this beauty going. And there has to be a timing. And you have to, amen, strategize and plan. People don't fail necessarily for no reason. It's because they fail to plan. Amen. And God has a plan for us, but are we willing to listen? My God. And we're supposed to be his temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, come, reside on the inside. That's what we want. Amen. A lot of times we don't want the Holy Ghost to come because we got some cleaning up to do. Hold on, I don't want the Holy Ghost to see that. But guess what? He already saw it. God has a what kind of eye? Inescapable. Yes. Our sneakiest night is God's brightest day, and he sees and hears all, my God. And sometimes he allows his prophetic people with the giftings to be leery, to understand and see some things. They get a spiritual whiff of stuff, my God. So God knows, amen. And sometimes what we do in secret, yes, it comes out quickly or not so quickly. It'll come out, though, eventually. Amen. The Holy Ghost is asking one of the main questions for this discourse is, how is your secret thought life? Amen. How is it? God has secrets, but how are yours? Amen. That's not the name of the sermon. That's just something the Holy Ghost is asking. Amen. That's the sermon inside the sermon. Amen. But we're going to be in Romans 12, 1 and 2, King James Version. I'm reading to your hearing. Thankful to God for all of you. Thankful to God for his spirit. I know you're able, Lord. I pray you add wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Add to our faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience,
patience, brotherly kindness, into brotherly kindness, charity, which is agape love. We know you're able, God. Give us wisdom to live right in Jesus' name. We need, yes, your giftings of the Spirit to function in the house of God so that it will not be dysfunctional, but we also need the fruit of the Spirit so we can act right. Oh, God, we know you're able. In Jesus' matchless name, help us to act right and help us to be able to function all by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm thankful that this message comes as an admonition, as the Spirit of God inspired for the Apostle Paul to write initially to the Church of Rome at Rome. But we see that, amen, it's ironic, since that the Romans who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, as Jesus prophesied, right? But Jesus was weeping on his way to pay the price for the sins of the world coming into Jerusalem. It's called by theologians the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem and beginning the Passion Week. So this same Jesus, yes, as we see in the scripture, also said that he would rebuild the temple in how many days? 3. My God. And of course, he was not referring to the physical building of the temple in Jerusalem, but his own body, right? We're here today worshiping God, I hope, because Jesus rose from the dead, defeating what? Death and hell. For our what? For our salvation. Thank God. We need to be alive and cognizant of these things so we could glow right, shine right, amen. Taste right, amen. Have the odorific quality of heaven, amen. And folks could taste and see that God is good. We don't want them to taste and see that God is a hypocrite. Because sometimes we bring a reproach on his name, and that's what seems as though God is. My God, God is a church-hopping God. Is that what he is? God is a hoe-hopping God, my God. God is a whoremonger. God is a thief, a scoundrel, a liar, a murderer, a backstabber. This is some of the things that we see done in Christendom. I see it because the Christian so-called newspaper is highlighting all kinds of bad stuff going on in and around the house of God, so-called, my God. But God said, yes, even though some are called the house of God, it's not his house. Just because somebody called it the house of God doesn't mean that God proclaimed that it is his house. A lot of folks are saying, Lord, Lord, but God is going to say, depart from me. I know you not. I don't have a right relationship with you. I am not intimate in the spirit with you. You are not of mine. You do not follow my creed. You do not follow my orders. You are not privy to what God is saying to do. My God, but we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be hypocrites. I have a witchcraft mentality because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. Yes. We want to bear the most earnest heed, lest at any time we let the word of God slip, any iota of it slip. And that means it's not the word of God. You're not walking in the word anymore. You are walking in a trespass zone. Jesus came, amen, to help the people get their mind right. Amen. And worshiping God will help us to see the importance of Christ rising from the dead, the importance of defeating death and hell. My God, this message is helping us to see what God wants. He wants to lead all of us to maintain the right attitude that will give us the spiritual advantage in the war against our soul's eternity. I pray that you will indulge me as I humbly submit to you how to survive as a living sanctuary. What? How to survive as a living sanctuary. Now I bring your attention to the Gospels in John chapter 2, verses 11 through 17 in the King James. It says, this beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. In case they didn't believe before, they believe in now. God said, if you didn't know, now you know. Amen. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. And they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, that's a whip, y'all, a scourge of small cords. That means he had to plait it together. It took him time to do it. He was strategic. My God, I can hear him in the spirit saying, how dare they pervert the house of God? No, they did not do that. He's plaiting that thing. He's going to get them. Now, God, my God. And they had a time to get it right. But did they get it right while he's plaiting the whip? No. He made the scourge of small cords. He drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. We see vehement righteous anger happening right before our eyes in this scripture. And Jesus said to them that sold doves, take these things hence. Take them out of here. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written. And the scripture doesn't point out where it was written, but I'm telling you where it was written. Psalm 69:9. And I'm reading in the Berean Standard Bible so you can get the grammar of it. It says here, the zeal for thine house hath eaten me up. In other words, he's doing the will of his Father. Amen. And he's going to see to it that it's done excellently. He's not going to compromise in any shape, form, or fashion. He's going to, amen, be as his own word. It's going to, amen, accomplish what it is what set out to do. Jesus is always on mission, on task. His attention is not diverted. No, he stays on task. Amen. He knows of whose he is. He knows why he came. He knows what he must do and accomplish. It was at the age of about 30 years old, after his first miracle of changing water to wine at a wedding, as recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus traveled to Capernaum and made it his headquarters. He had to change from his hometown and went on to the next towns over, my God, and made his new headquarters. After that, he and his disciples traveled to Jerusalem to find a profaned economy between the temple priests and street vendors in the selling of animals for Passover sacrifices. It is not so bad to have an idea that can bring convenience, right? But these businessmen conspired to take advantage of those in need of a sacrificial offering. They began to be extortionists. It was, my God. They used this opportunity to become rich by charging high, exorbitant prices to convert the foreign money that traveling people brought to purchase sacrificial animals, right? And since that money had idols embedded on them, right? It could not be used in the worship service. We are not gonna use money with idols. But how much money is brought in the prosperity gospel with all the idolatry of our modern money on it, my God? And they pray for that money to come. Money cometh. People pray into money now. My God, it's idolatry, I tell you. But I pray to the Almighty God, amen. And in him will I trust. And in him will I not be given a spirit of covetousness. Thank God. God will give me what I need. His riches are going to supply what I need. Amen. According to his riches and glory, what? By Christ Jesus. And Jesus is holy. God is holy. We should have holy mentalities when we are doing the work of the Lord. We're not coming out to take advantage of folks. No, we're not going to fleece the saints nor the goats either. Amen. Nobody should be fleeced. Amen. Thank God you don't fleece the ain'ts. You don't fleece the saints. You don't fleece the wheat. You don't fleece the tare. There's no fleecing. Hallelujah. Thank God. But the merchants here, they're charging these high prices for the animals sold in the court of the Gentiles, taking advantage of these folk. They could have been folk being saved and delivered in their mind. But no, now they got to see this evil stuff going on. The devil found an occasion to establish an economic stronghold right in the very house of God, of all places. Jesus only charged them with making the temple a what? A house of merchandise. But he revealed the attitude that God had toward such a venture by whipping them and their animals out of God's house. Amen. Overturning their tables and pouring out their money onto the ground. Despite this chastisement, this evil practice would spring up again in Jerusalem about 3 years later, as recorded in Luke 19, towards the end of the gospel. See, 19 verses 45 through Luke 20 and verse 1. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. In the first occurrence of John, the second chapter, it is noted that Jesus did what? Cleared the temple with a whip and a word of rebuke. Both things tied together much like that whip. However, in the 19th chapter of Luke, which is comparable to Matthew 21 and Mark 11, it is noted that in his righteous indignation, he used a hard word of rebuke, charging them for profaning the house of God, making it a den of thieves, which was most likely accompanied by a stern, solemn look. He gave them the divine look, y'all. The whip is not mentioned as part of the second occurrence. Notice that. Perhaps the Lord did not want us to think he was being spiteful for how some of these same people repeatedly sought to kill him, attempting to seize him right in the midst of the temple and to take him out to be stoned. And that was in John 8:59 and John 10:31. Of a certainty, we can rest assured that God is in control of the past, present, and future. Amen. These folk had no power over the Holy Lamb of God, because he is also what? The Lion of Judah. He's not just a lamb, he's a lion. Hallelujah. Theologian Matthew Henry notes that, quote, it is perhaps an instance of his power over the spirits of men, and the hold that he has of these men by their own consciences. Amen. This was the only act of regal authority and coercive power that Christ did in the days of his incarnation when he came to be among us physically. He began with it in John, the second chapter, and here ended with it. Tradition says that his face shone. We can think of when Moses was with him in a 40-day conference on Mount Sinai. What happened when Moses came out of that conference? His face was shining, right? My God. The glory of God was soaked into his pores. My God. It came from his spirit out of his skin. So tradition says that Jesus' face shone in these times when he went into the temple to throw those money changers out. And beams of light darted from his blessed eyes, which astonished these market people and compelled them to yield to his command. If so, the scripture was fulfilled in Proverbs 28, which says, "A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes." Amen, end quote. And Matthew Henry goes on to say, "He overthrew the tables of the money changers. He did not take the money to himself, but did what? Scattered it, threw it to the ground." And that's the fittest place for that. Amen. End quote of Matthew Henry. Now, my talk through the Holy Ghost. How many of us would have taken that money that was spilled? Oh, Jesus spilled money. And while he's over there whipping them, we use that as a distraction and go to picking up the money. Hallelujah. Many people today might do that. That's the kind of spirit we have in these last and evil days, because they have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and lovers of money. That's the root of all evil. That's why evil is lurking in quote unquote houses of God. That's a shame. But everybody that comes into a house of God is not necessarily of the house of God. It's a holy lineage. It's a spiritual thing. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that by the washing of the holy word of God. It's a transformation process. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. So we see that of a certainty, Jesus is in control, and these folk had no power over him. And though he would obey the prophetic command to suffer those messianic woes of Isaiah 53:4 in the King James Version, read as follows. You remember it. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." My God. You know, despite that, he had triumph over the gates of hell, right? He did that so he could prevail over the gates of hell. And that was already prophetically foretold way back in Genesis 3:15 in the King James Version, reads as follows. "And I will do what? Put enmity between thee and the woman." He's talking to that devil. "And between thy seed and her seed." In other words, God is prophesying about Jesus being born. And Jesus, in other words, amen, "it, the seed shall bruise thy head." The beautiful gospel feet of Jesus is going to bruise his head. And he said, "the devil shall bruise his heel." Even though the heel of Jesus might have been bruised, my God, there were lacerations on his body. My God, there were piercings. But not one bone was broken. The prophecy said that not one bone would be broken. My God, they came to break bones of the legs of folk being crucified so that they could choke easily, asphyxiate. My God, they would suffocate. Their lungs would collapse. But Jesus was already gone. My God, after saying some other things, he said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he gave up the ghost. My God. And when they came around to try to, you know, speed things up, Jesus was already gone. No need to break his legs, thank God. So the prophecies all, amen, came true. Thank God, thank God. But look at this verse where he's cleaning the temple. Jesus may have exhibited anger, which he did. We can't deny it. Jesus got angry. Wow, what kind of savior is that? But look, it was not sinful anger. So when situations are noted at least twice, as was this occasion, God is putting an exclamation mark on it. It's emphatic. He wants us to be sure of its significance, as when scriptures are preceded with the words, "Verily, verily." Jesus wants us to follow his lead. We must protect our body, our soul, and our spirit. These entities can be figuratively referred to as one complete entity known as our temple or our sanctuary. He is the gracious Lord, is he not? He's seeking to save that which was lost to the serpent. Conversely, this serpent or Satan is an angry rebel. He seeks vulnerable victims to devour with a hidden agenda to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's why he comes. Consider these scriptures for your personal sanctuary maintenance. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is what? Holy, which temple ye are. All godly action begins with this, the renewing of your mind. Right thinking produces right actions. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts. Think about it. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Amen. We're almost done. And also in 1 Peter 1:3, it concludes as follows. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And something else, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming back for sober folk. Yes. Amen. Thank God. This is synonymous with Hebrews 12:1. In the King James Version, sounds like this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Don't misread this, run the race with patience. Amen. Patience is being on task. Being one who is focused, amen? Staying put in the mindset and keeping the marching orders of the Lord. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord, and we must attain to them, have a great attention towards them and not falter. Run the race with patience that's set before us. It's set before us. But what is lighting the path of it? God's word. It's a light unto our path, is it not? The race is set before us, but God's word will lead us into what to do. Living is worship. And this worship is governed by what? The word of God. Amen. Anyone tells you different, that we don't need the word while we're worshiping? That's a problem. Amen. When you X out the word, you're Xing out the content of which we live by. And if we're not living by the right content, there's going to be a faulty, false, faux content that will take its place. What is repentance? Is repentance learning how to act differently? No, it's replacing that evil stuff with the good stuff. Amen. Instead of doing that, you're going to do something else. Thank God. You're not relearning how to act holy while you still got ugly stuff from hell in you. Amen. You got to get rid of that stuff. Lay aside the weight and the sin. Amen. Lay it aside. Roll thy way unto the Lord. Amen. Make about face, we used to say. Repenting is making about face. Amen. And you're going to, amen, go fast and forward into the will of God now. And finally, I must assert this scripture, 1 John 1, 6 and 7 in the King James Version. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we are walking in darkness, you know, doing evil things, we are liars and do not the truth. We're not living the truth. Our life is not worship anymore. But if we walk in the light, the holy light of God, and as God is in the light, you know. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth is important because you have to keep on keeping on. You have to keep your mind stayed on him. Amen. His mind is always on you. He loves us. He wants to rendezvous with us. He likes us chilling out with him. Yes. But sometimes we don't want to chill out with him. We are the problem, not God. God is married to the backslider. God loves us despite ourselves. My God. It's while we were yet sinners that he died for us. He loves us beyond what we could fathom or think. He's going to cleanse you if you want to be cleansed. You got to want to be cleansed. You can't have it both ways, baby. Either going to love God or love the devil. My God, which one? You can't do both. If you got a little bit of devil in there, the whole thing is the devil. God said if a little bit of spotted darkness is in you, your whole self is dark in your vision. You can't see far behind of past your eyelash. You can't even see past the film of the retina. My God, you're blind. Oh, God. He needs to make the blind to see. He makes the dumb to talk. He makes even the deaf to hear. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear unto us and grant us thy peace. And I also say, give me the ear to hear. The day I hear your voice, may I not harden my heart. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. You see here, God wants us to be mindful of what we subject ourselves to as we go through our everyday life experiences. As we are closing, are we causing ourselves harm? God doesn't cause us harm. We cause ourselves harm. God's word shows us how to stay out of harm's way. We can be proactive like that. And that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach our church, how to be better in our proactive lifestyle. The Holy Ghost will keep us from hidden snares that will overtake us unawares. Amen. He'll show you how to walk through this minefield called a journey of faith. Instead of stepping on a bomb, God will help you, amen, to avoid danger and detriment. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
But sometimes we want to imprison ourselves as a house of merchandise. We are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, not a house of merchandise, covetous house of merchandise. Living for the things God created instead of living for the living God who created the things.
Right.
My God.
Right.
Are you tired of being entrapped by bad habits that Satan masks as good habits, thus making you into his den of thievery? Mm. Listen to God's advertisement. These are eternal advertisements. Mm-hmm. Don't turn the TV off. Listen to the commercials. Amen. The devil will rob you of your strength. You know how they do in the commercials. They show what you're using, how bad it is, and they make it worse than it is. Amen. Yeah. They said, use this over here. Oh, how glorious it is. But God's not a liar. Amen. His stuff is not going to break. Mm-hmm. After you buy it, amen, 2 weeks later it breaks. No, not God's stuff.
Right.
He's eternal. Amen. Mm-hmm. His stuff's not going to break. Amen. I thank you, Lord. I could trust God. He's not some shyster trying to get me to spend money I don't need to be spending. My God, and putting all of those good-looking folk on the exercise machine that don't even need the exercise machine. It makes us covetous. Oh, I want to look like that. My God, they got the pretty people on the windowsill when you go to the beauty salon. Oh, I want to look like that. Go in a gorilla and come out looking good. My God. I don't care how much stuff they do. Some folk are not going to change that much. Hallelujah. Thank God. Truth be told. Amen. The advertising world will entice us to be covetous.
Yes.
And that's how the devil works. He's thrilling you while he's killing you.
Right.
Thank God. You're going to have all kind of clutter in your soul of stuff you bought from hell and don't even need it. Don't even use it. Like we buy all them exercise machines. We don't have room to walk in our house. We are allowing it to be like a pet that we have. My God, we need to get rid of some of that stuff so we'll have some place to walk. You should be able to be blindfolded and walk through your house and not stomp your toe. Hallelujah, anyhow. But that's the clutter of our soul. We got stuff in our soul that shouldn't be there. Mm. How are we feeding our soul? God is asking. Let him have the commercial time right now. God wants us to be fortified with the divine vitality of his holy word. My God, but how many times do we forego hearing the word of God? It's the preacher's job to feed the sheep. It's the preacher's job to feed the lambs. And how do we feed them? With the holy word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't care if you read one little verse of scripture, amen, and expound upon it, but at least you was in the word of God. You may not have a 2, 3, 4, 20-page sermon, my God, but at least you read a scripture out of the Lord's word as led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I don't care how much shouting you do. You better allow God's word to be heard. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost has wrapped.
Hallelujah.
Are we making provisions for our flesh and the ungodly ideas proposed by the spiritual wickedness of this world? You know what? It's high time for those who claim to be on God's side to measure up to his elementary commands of salvation. This is the Back to Basics of Christian Living series. We need to go back to the elementary things, because sometimes we have, amen, skipped over things, and we need to go back and be remediated, because sometimes we have lost our mind. Mm. And we need to go to the lost and found and go find it. Amen. Amen. What was lost is now found. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And what we do in the dark, guess what? It's going to come to the light eventually, isn't it?
Amen.
I told you the Holy Ghost is asking, is your secret place holy like God's? Having a faith of convenience will lead to destruction. We're only saved when certain folks we're competing with in the house of God are looking. My God. And then we're going to go somewhere else where there is not so many people of God. Then we're going to, amen, as the Reverend Dr. Robert L. Norris used to say, we're going to start cutting the monkey. Amen. Thank God we know how to act a fool when it's time. We only have a convenience faith. We say hallelujah with those who have been Medea'd in that Medea church. My God. And running around and... How we used to say when the women are wearing men's stuff, what you say, they abominating?
Mm-hmm.
And we got the abominating church. And your pastor is the abominable snowman. My God, he's abominating.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have somebody who's going to be a real woman of God, a real man of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank God if you're a man, you shouldn't be trying to look like a woman. If you're a woman, you shouldn't be trying to look like a man. There shouldn't be confusion in the house of God. God said, male and female created he them. God is not confused. Why are ye confused? Why are ye hung between two opinions? I don't know why the Holy Ghost got me going down that road. But somebody need to hear it. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Oh, God. We got secrets. But some folk today are not in the secret closet of that kind of way. They all out with theirs. And they have made the rainbow in the Bible a perverted thing. We need to, amen, recommit what the rainbow really meant.
Yes.
My God, we ought not waste the rainbow, but we need to taste and see that the rainbow that God made is good.
Yes.
Amen. Taste the rainbow.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do not, amen, defame the rainbow.
Yes.
My God, do not pervert the rainbow.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes. Keep it intact. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes. We thank you, Lord. As Moses warned his allies during their conquest of the promised land in Numbers 32 and 23, in the King James Version, we're ending with this, but if ye will not do so, you know, as the Lord commands, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
Yes.
We better not have secret closet stuff going on. And even if you are bold because society said you could be bold in your sin, it is still not of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah, anyhow.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost convicts you because God put it in our DNA to be convicted.
That's right.
There is a right from wrong, and it's in our DNA. We could tell in a general sense what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
Stuff don't even feel right because God put it in our DNA.
Yes.
Hallelujah, God. But we're going to, amen, forego that. We're going to turn a deaf ear to that. And we're going to have our neck unturned because we got a stiff neck. We don't want to turn around the way God would have us turn around. Thank God. But this warning is in the Bible for a reason. It's put early in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible. The history is being laid out as to how God expects a certain protocol in worship. We must heed the word of God and believe in it and let it assimilate in our being and become the living word. Amen. Amen. And not amen. Give heed to monstrosity words.
Yes.
Words full of holes. My God, I call it the Swiss cheese version. My God, stay away from it. Amen. And that's how your diet is going to be, full of holes. You're not going to be, amen, nourished correctly in the Holy Ghost. Thank God. How many of you are willing to take a stand for the Lord and go forth in a new way in God? Amen. We want to, amen, heed the warnings in the word. Amen. Because God wants us to have genuine loyalty. The truth has to come forth so you know what you're going to believe in. If God holds back the truth, he is a shyster, just like some of these faulty advertisements we see and hear online and on TV. But God tells you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Amen. God wants us to be one who is able, by his Spirit, to conquer Satan's diabolical plans set up against us and set up against our family. My God. Sometimes we'll let stuff in, but we don't understand. The devil not only just wants us, but he wants the whole family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll sit in our little secret place and we'll say, I'm not hurting anybody, but it's going to come out.
Yes.
As sure as you don't take a bath and keep putting on new clothes, after a while that funk going to go through the new clothes and go into our old factory lobes, and we're going to smell something that we ought not be smelling. Sin will find you out. Yes, it will. My God, God wants us to come to him with correctness. Come as a sign of loyalty to God's kingdom in a most serious way ever. As we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw nigh to us. Amen. He will draw closer to you than ever before. How to serve as a living sanctuary.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.